So, you know, every generation, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're living in the end times, right? I remember growing up in the church as a teenager, that preacher would be pounding the pulpit. The time has come. The time has come. All the signs are there. What did I do? Waited. I looked. Look up in the sky. Where's the trumpet? What's going on? Every generation that says, this is it. This is the end of the times. Get your life ready. So I've been a believer for over 30 years. I don't know how long you've been a believer. And a lot of people, you know, kept on saying, Lord, we need you to come now. Now, come back now. The world is falling apart. And biblically, the Bible says the world will struggle. But I'm not ready for him to come back yet. I still got a lot of people who need to understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I do believe we are living in the end times. I'm going to call it the season of end times. And we've studied this a little bit throughout the years. And I need you to open up to two books of the Bible this morning. All right? I want you to turn to the book of Daniel, obviously, because we've been in the book of Daniel for a few weeks. And I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. So we're going to take both of those texts this morning and figure out, are we actually in the end times? Will we see Jesus come back? I don't know about you, but that terrifies me a little bit. And the disciples asked Jesus the same thing. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, you're going to have one of the last times that Jesus taught his disciples. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and yes, there's olive trees on that mountain. And he was talking, and through there's a valley, and the valley is filled with graves, if you've ever seen it before. They look across, and then you see Jerusalem. You see the Temple Mount. You know, you've seen the Rock of the Dome and all that stuff there. He looked over, and he said, see all those buildings? One day, they're all going to be destroyed. Not a single rock will be left unturned. And so the disciples asked three questions, real simple questions here. He told them privately, he said, tell us when this will happen, number one. What will be the sign or the signal of your return? And number three, when will the world end? How many of you believe the world will end? Yeah. You know, not all Christians believe that. Yeah, I read a survey a couple of years ago, and I probably mentioned it, that 68% of Christians believe the world will come to an end. Now, there's a lot of Bible prophecy that talks about end times. It's sprinkled all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And so the disciples said, well, Lord, when will it come? They thought that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. They thought Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and that the end of all time would actually be in their time frame. So what did they do? We need to get to work. We need to go. And they sent the church out and he started preaching, teaching, and they went out to missionary journeys, and they really thought any moment the Lord is going to return. Have you ever heard a preacher say, he's returning any moment? We've been saying that for how many thousands of years now? 2,000 plus years we've been saying that. And I know we're closer than we were back then. At least 2,000 years closer than we were. What are the signs of the times? When will all this happen? When will the earth finally give way? So when we look at Matthew chapter 24, we're going to actually get into that a little bit more. We're going to let Jesus answer those questions. We're going to talk about some of the signs and some of the segues that finally will introduce the end times. And I hope you're going to be with us. There's a lot of books out there, a lot of videos. There's prophecy conferences. In fact, a large church in our community, every year they do a prophecy conference. Thousands of people go. Great preachers and teachers talk about it. And I'm going to tell you, as many preachers and teachers teach about the end times, that's how many opinions of how it's going to end up. I may not be the sharpest tool, and I may not understand everything about the end times, but I do understand some things. I understand some important things. And we as a church, we're not going to expect you to know everything that is possibly to be known about biblical prophecy. You can't do it. But what's more important is what we're going to focus on. Because, I believe we're in the season of end times. And the Bible is crystal clear about what needs to happen during these end times. So again, let's look at what Jesus says, and then we're going to build a bridge through Jesus to the book of Daniel. So he says in Matthew 24, 4 through 8, Jesus told them, the disciples, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Messiah.' They will deceive many, and you'll hear of wars and threats of wars." But what? Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. What's the most important word in the Bible? But. But the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. What's that most important word? But. All of this is only the first of the birth pains. With what? More to come. You scared? I know some of the ladies were talking about birth pains, and you're out of here. It's an analogy that we're going to use. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, here are some of the things that are going to happen when the season begins to change. You ever notice when we go from summer to fall, things start what? They're a little bit different, and that's what we're experiencing right now. It's different. There's going to be some things happen. Prophets and teachers will come and say, "I am the anointed one." And those people will lead many astray. Have you ever heard some of these crazy people before? False doctrine, craziness, and they lead a lot of people astray. There'll be a lot of those. Have there been a lot of those? There will. There are. Nation against nation. Now that word nation, in Greek, it's actually called ethnos. From the word ethnos, we get ethnicity. So ethnicity against ethnicity. Do you live in a time when race wars are happening? There's races against one another. Nation or ethnos against ethnos will come about each other. Do you see that today? Wars and rumors of wars. You can just turn on the TV shows and you'll see all of that. Kingdom against kingdom. What do you think he's referring to about kingdom against kingdom? Governments against governments, countries against countries. And there's famines. Has there been famines lately in your lifetime? Earthquakes? Hello, California. In fact, earthquakes are happening outside of California than inside of California. They're happening all over the world. And there's going to be more to come. How much more to come? A lot more to come. This is a change in the season he's talking about. Things are going to be changing for them. And then he picks up verses 9 through 12. Then, okay, so after these things start happening, the change of scene, season is coming, then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Isn't that warm and fuzzy this morning? It's called persecution. Many believers, because of this, will turn away from me. Who's me? Why do they turn away from Jesus? Because they're going through persecution. That's very important to remember. And they will betray and hate each other. Wow, this just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Who's going to betray and hate each other? Believers. The church. I've been telling you for a long time, since January 1st, the enemy has three goals. Remember what the goals are? To number one, what? Distract you. Number two, divide you. And number three, destroy you. He's concerned about the church. And in the end times, you're going to see the church struggling. I don't know of any other time in my life where I've seen the church struggle like it is today. How about you? Where is the church? I hate when I see those signs on front yards of churches, closed. Now, they may be closed because of reasons that they can justify out of the fear of a contagion. But when was the last time in your life you've ever seen the church closed? Never. I've never seen the church closed. Church didn't even close when 9/11 happened. In fact, the churches were packed out. And they were open for people. But there comes a time in the end times when the church will be against itself. And how many of you know that some people are calling us irresponsible today? Churches who are meeting today, dividing up because Some are choosing to worship and to gather around the word. He says, false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Again, the people, he's referring to believers. You see how the church believers are going go through a sifting time because trials, persecutions, some will be killed. And you used to think that persecution was only for people in third world countries. But it's happening today. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. Who's he referring to? Believers. The love that you have for God will grow cold. Why? Because God didn't rescue you from all these trials. Because that's really what the church wants today. Lord, bless me, make me comfortable, make me rich, make me healthy, make me this, this, this. It's the American way. But in my Bible, I often see believers, especially those who are on fire for Jesus, they get put through the fire, don't they? They get put through the difficult times. And that's what happens in the end times. He says there's more to come after the season, and wickedness is increasing. Do you see that today? I almost sound like the preachers from 50 years ago, right? Do you see how that snowflake that started up at the top of Pike's Peak started rolling down? What does that snowflake gather as it rolls down that mountain? More snow until it becomes a huge snowball. It's called the Prab. Aren't you glad there's more than just 12 verses? Jesus didn't say, you followed me for 3.5 years, it's going to get a lot worse. How many of you are grateful for one word in the Bible? What's that word? But. But, verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved, rescued, delivered. Your Bible may say it different ways. There's hope in the end. As the end begins, we understand that it's going to be difficult. But if you endure, if you stand firm, sounds like a good sermon series one day, you will what? You will be saved. So you got to ask yourself, when is the end? When do I got to get my life together? What's happening? How many of you would rather wait till just like the day before the end begins? Then you're going to get serious for the Lord, right? I mean, that's the American way. I'll party, I'll have fun, I'll put Jesus on the back burner, but when I need him for something, I'll bring him forward. Or, I read in the paper, I just dated myself. I read on Facebook that he's coming back tomorrow. When is he coming back? How many of you know the date? How many of you would be shocked if I told you I knew the date? No one knows the date. In fact, even Jesus doesn't know when God the Father is going to send him down. But in the meantime, we got to figure out when the end is coming, because do you want to get caught off guard? Do you want to get caught living your own life the way you want to live, and all of a sudden Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, comes down and he calls your number? Do you want to get caught? I don't want to get caught. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Verse 14 says this. The gospel will be preached throughout the whole world. When is it going to happen? When is the end times going to start? When the gospel is being preached to the whole world, so that all nations, or what? What's another word for nations? Ethnicities will hear it, and what? Then the end will come, or the end will begin. So here's a clean, clear sign of when you're getting close. How many of you love the internet? I remember growing up hearing a preacher that the preacher said that this prophecy is filled because we have a radio. We have AM and FM and shortwave radios, and we can beam that signal almost to the entire world except for the 1040 longitude and latitude. We can almost get it everywhere. We are so close. That preacher was clueless about WWW. Not what would Jesus do, but the world wide, what? Web. Now we can preach the gospel anywhere in the world as long as they can receive it through the internet. Now, does that take you one step closer to the end of time? When will it begin? when the gospel is heard and all nations will hear it for the first time. But I'm telling you right now, there's some nations, there's some people groups who haven't heard the gospel yet. So that means we got to continue on. So as we go on, we have to go to the next verse. The day, now when we say about the day, that is the time when the end time begins. Remember, we're leading up to it. The seasons are changing. We're leading up to the season of end times. But when that day or that day is coming, when you see what who? Daniel. He was a game changer, wasn't he? He was a man of God. You'll see what Daniel prophesied when he spoke about the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. How many have ever heard that phrase before? It's a mouthful. The sacrilegious what? Object that caused desecration, standing in the holy place. Now, then they put in this emphasis here. Reader, what? Pay attention. Go get some more coffee if you need some more coffee. You see, there's going to be a time when Daniel prophesied and Jesus affirmed it, that there'll be a time when there will be a sacrilegious object that causes desecration in the holy place or the temple. Daniel referred to it three different times. Now, we studied the first six chapters of Daniel. They're all the history chapters. And we know that Daniel, after the chapter six, he's in his 80s now. And now, the last six chapters, it's all about dreams and visions. But his dreams and visions, he couldn't interpret. But he could interpret the dreams and the visions and the handwriting of the kings. And some of you asked, remember, Pastor, you said that Daniel wasn't there when his three friends were in the fire furnace. Where was he? He was having dreams and visions. Now, remember when Nebuchadnezzar had his first dream of that amazing tall statue? It terrified him, right? The same thing when you go into the book of Daniel, chapter 7, it actually is Daniel's same vision of what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in chapter 2, but with more detail, a very vivid detail. And it really startled Daniel because he saw a glimpse of the future, and it wasn't the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that we worry. Now, this is something that happens, that it begins when there's a sacrilegious object that causes desecration, standing in the holy place. The holy place is in the temple. You remember our studies in the temple. In Jerusalem, they have the Temple Mount. And the temple has been built historically how many times? Two times it's been built. Yet it's going to be built, some say, a third time. And in this final third building of the temple in Jerusalem on the mount, there will be, at some point in time, we'll get that to us in a second, a sacrilegious object will be put up there and offerings will be made to this. And it will desecrate. What's another word for desecrate? Defile. So what we're going to do today, we're trying to take Matthew 24, Jesus' words, and Daniel and all the remaining prophecies. And then we're going to try to figure out what prophecies have been taken care of, what prophecies are still yet to come, and what does that mean for us today. Do you have your seat belts on? I hope so. Readers, pay attention. Now, we're going to pick out of Daniel chapter 9 in a moment, because Daniel 9 is a wonderful summary of the visions than the explanations that the angel Gabriel gave to Daniel. And then we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12, and I hope you're there to try to understand how it all comes together. So let me read for you Daniel chapter 9, just the 22 and 23. He, that's Gabriel, explained to me, Daniel, I have come to you today to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command in heaven was given. And I'm here to tell you what it is. For you are very precious to God. So listen very carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. So Gabriel's a great angel. He's going to bring this news, as he's done to other people throughout history. Daniel, this is what your visions mean. So we're going to go to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to go to chapter 9, verse 24. Let's pick it up. He says, a period of 70 sets of seven, say that with me, 70 sets of seven all right, has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. So there has been 70 sets of seven, which will cover, hold on, all of Bible prophecy will take place. It's going to start and it's going to end when God sits on the throne, Christ sits on the throne, and there's going to be 70 sets of seven. How many years might that be? Well, let's first of all figure out what this means. That is a set of seven. And so it's a period of time. There are 7 years in this, like this. But I think we understand that there's a set, and each set represents how many years? He says there's 70 sets of seven. Here we are, of seven. That equals 490 years. How many of you already have that number? Look at those teachers. 70 sets of seven. All biblical prophecy will take place from the first prophecy to the very end in that time period. 490 years. Does that seem like a long time? Looking back historically, that doesn't seem very long at all, especially from our perspective. 490 years. Now, let's go figure out these 70 sets of seven. So here we are, chapter 9, verse 25. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven. You there? How many want to go get some more coffee yet? You good? Now, I think the images are going to help you hang in there with me. Will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem. That's when Ezra, Nehemiah built the temple. Rebuild the temple. Okay? That's what the time will pass. Until a ruler, the anointed one, who's that? Jesus. He comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and a strong defenses, and despite the perilous times. So there are going to be sets of seven. The first set is real simple. There are seven in the first. How many years is seven sets of seven? 49 years. Man, I wish I didn't give you that up there. Keep you on your toes. Now, what's going to happen in that first set of seven of biblical prophecy is that the decree to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls and the temple will be given until when the Messiah, the anointed one, comes. So that's what it is. Now, listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite perilous times. You can read all about that in the historical books of Ezra and in Nehemiah. And then he says, after this period, the first seven sets, how many years was that? After that, then 62 sets of seven. Are you there? Now we're just still talking about two sets right now. The first set has 7 years. Did it happen? It did. The second set has 62 sets of seven. 483 years, by the way. Did I do my math okay on that one? So, the anointed one will be killed. Who's the anointed one? And what happened on the cross? He died, appearing to have accomplished nothing. Well, that's not very good prophecy, but no, really. When Jesus died on the cross, what did all the disciples do? They fled. What do you mean? How come he didn't rise again? What's going on? You lived and you died. Come on, rise again. Appearing to have done nothing. He says, then a ruler, capital R or little r? A ruler, an authority, someone, will rise whose armies will destroy the city's Jerusalem, and the temple. The end will come with a flood. And war and its miseries are decreed to the very end. We know that in this second set, of 62 sets of seven. We know that Jesus died, right? And we also know that in AD 70, Roman Emperor Titus came to Jerusalem. What did he do? He destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, and a 10-mile radius around the entire city was destroyed. In fact, not a single stone was left upon another. You go to the Temple Mount. You know those big, massive walls with these massive stones, the foundation, and you just see them piling, piling. In fact, there was a pathway probably where Jesus walked one day, and these stones came down and literally crushed that pathway. Not a single stone was left. And we know that in AD 70 that the second temple was destroyed by that ruler. The Roman ruler came down. The end will come with a flood. Now, don't get confused. I thought the Lord wasn't going to destroy the earth with a flood. Well, no, that's more of an adjective there. The end will come like a flood. When a flood comes, you ever been around a flood? It comes what? Quickly. It sweeps everything aside. And can you control the flood? No. You can't. You're at its mercy. When this begins, it will come like a flood. And that's what we saw. We saw that when Jerusalem was destroyed, we also saw that Israel was taken captive yet again. They are exiled to all across the world. That they were again separated from Jerusalem. Verse 27. The ruler, the Antichrist, or a Antichrist, will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. How come only one set of seven? Because that's the only one left. Everything else, the first set of seven and all 62, have been fulfilled. What's remaining? The last set of seven. That is reserved for what we call the tribulation. You've heard that word before? The tribulation. He says there's going to be a ruler, an Antichrist, will come and make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven. But after half of this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and the offerings. You've heard about that a moment ago, didn't you? And as a climax to his terrible deeds, he will set up, have you heard this before? Jesus and Daniel mentioned this. Jesus said he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes what? Desecration, will defile the temple. Until the fate decreed of this defiler is finally poured out. That is his end. So what's going to happen during this last period of seven? The end times. The end times will come. And he's going to come, and there's going to be an Antichrist coming, and that's when the tribulation period begins. How many have ever done a study on the tribulation period? Maybe you'll understand a little bit. 483 years of prophecy have already been fulfilled. There's one set of prophecy yet to be fulfilled, and that is called the tribulation. I'm going to tell you right now, the more I study about it, the more read all throughout the other scriptures, the more I don't know about it. Ever been there? The more you study, the more you don't know about it. I was up really early this morning debating with myself. Am I a pre-trib, a post-trib? I don't know what I am. I can make the Bible pretty much say anything. You see, there's this thought that before this tribulation happens, there's this thinking that God will send the angel and he will rapture the church, rapture the believers. Now, I didn't say rupture. I said rapture. What do you think rapture is? Taken up. You've seen, people flying in the airplanes and all of a sudden, boom, the pilot's gone. And all the world begins to fall apart because all the Christians have been raptured up. Now, I like the idea of pre-tribulation, right? I mean, how many of you want to go through tribulation? I don't want to go through it. So I want to believe in the pre-trib thing. And there's some good scriptures that talk about it. But there's also another mindset that's going to be post-trib. Post-tribulation is when we will be taken up. That means that believers will go through all those things and yet more to talk about until finally enough is enough. But don't lose hope. Don't lose up hope. We've already talked about that one word, but. But. So that's what we're talking about in terms of the tribulation period. And now, he says in the next verse, I'm sorry, we go to chapter 12, because chapter 12 actually is the vivid description of this last period of the tribulation. In fact, almost the entire book of Revelation deals with this last period. And next week, we're going to start a series, because the Lord told me I don't get to preach Exodus yet, on the seven churches found in the Revelation. Those are the seven types of churches that are found when Christ comes. What kind of church are we? He says now in chapter 12, at that time, now that time goes back to what we said in Daniel chapter 9. When the sacramental defiling of the temple happens, at that time, Michael, how many of you love Michael? We talked about Michael a few weeks ago, a few months ago. He's the warrior archangel. Who was he Rocky against early on? Satan, the devil. He is a warrior. And Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation, your ethnos, he will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. What's happening in the tribulation? There's a battle between good and evil. And Michael, the archangel, he is standing guard, and he was against the Antichrist, against the beast, against the idea of anything against Christ and the wickedness in the world. Michael is going to take on everything. Will we be here? I don't know. Will we see Michael battling? I don't know. But we know that Michael will be here. Then there will be a time of great, great anguish because of the spiritual battle that's taken place and now physical battle. He says, but, what's that best word? At that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be what? Delivered. Rescued. Now, how many of you would rather be rescued before all this happens? I think we've got that set. Now, I can take this verse like a lot of other scholars and say, look, see, I'm going to be raptured up. But I also can read it that Michael, the archangel, will be fighting alongside of us and seeing us through these tribulation times. So that means, well, Pastor, are you a pre-trib or a post-trib? I'm a trib. I know it's happening. And if I'm here, I want to make sure that I am still in a place where I'm going to be rescued and Michael's on my side. I don't want to be on their side other than Michael's side. And it's going to be horrible. It's going to be like the world has never seen before. Sure, I don't want to be there, but I might be there. In fact, I'm going to totally confuse you again in a couple verses about if you're a pre-trib, you just might have to shake your head a little bit this morning. Verse 2, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. This is the resurrection that leads to the judgment. Now, if we're here during the tribulation, this is going to be a crazy sight. Just think about this. They haven't made a movie about it yet. At least I haven't watched it. If we're here, at some point in time, what does this Bible say? Those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up out of their graves. And I don't know what that's going to look like. But I know that the resurrection will happen because we read about the resurrection and all the other prophecies, and that the dead will rise again and they will be resurrected, maybe in a spiritual body form. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I want to see it yet. But it will happen. And when you are, let's say that a loved one, your body is in the grave, And all of a sudden, the grave opens up. You're going to rise and you're going to go to judgment. What does the Bible say? What kind of judgment are you going to have? You're going to have a reward for everlasting life. And that is when, you've ever heard this, welcome home, good and faithful. Come on down. Did you like that trip I just put you on? That was pretty cool. Welcome home. Or he's going to say what? Depart from me. I don't know you. You rejected me. And then you're going to spend shame and everlasting disgrace. Do you have any options? No, it's done. It's set. We don't believe in levels of purgatory. We don't believe that if you go out and spend time out for a few years, a few decades, then God's going to let you in. I biblically can't support that anywhere. So where are you going to spend this life in preparation for this event? With God or against God? That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it, my friends? But I love that. I'm okay either way if I see this or not, because believers will be rescued and delivered no matter what. So that's what we said in verse 2. In verse 3, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness, salvation, will shine like stars forever. Again, this is talking after the resurrection, that we are with God. Believers will be like the light of day. How many of you love watching the sunrise? How many of you know that the sun still rises? You just wake up and it's 11 o'clock, I know. But we often see the sun rise in our house. And it starts off what? Dim. And what happens after that? It gets what? Brighter and brighter, warmer and warmer. And that's what the believers, these people are going to be raised to life, and there's going to become more and more. All the people who have trusted in the Lord will be gathered, and they're going to be as bright as the sky. Wow, that's exciting. But there's going to be some who are going to shine like stars. How many of you want a gold star? Oh man, you did good on that test. I give you a gold star. These are the men and women who have led many, many people to Jesus and sacrifice. Name some people who have been amazing evangelists. Billy Graham. I'm going to see a star, Billy Graham, right there. A real bright one. They're going to be shining bright, bright, and they're going to last forever. That's what's going to happen. He says, now, what's that word? But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Why? Seal it up in the book until the time of the end. Did we already start talking about the time of the end? When many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. When will the seal or the revelation of this vision be revealed? It's described two ways. When many can go to and fro. And when what? Knowledge increases. Now, we've talked about this before. I remember telling you back 100 years ago, it would take 4 to 6 months to walk the Oregon Trail. That's a long ways. It takes 36 hours to fly to the moon. Wow. Can you fly pretty much anywhere today? You can go from the West Coast to the East Coast in about 6 hours. There was prophesied a time when people would be able to travel like never before. When these guys were writing this book, how did they travel? They walked. Maybe they had a donkey. Maybe they're lucky, an Uber donkey. I don't know. But there's going to be a time. Did they understand what this is going to be about? No. But there's going to be a time when this begins that the ends will start. Not only that, knowledge will increase. Now, I read this survey a long time ago. Scientists and historians have come together, and that they said that collective knowledge of the world doubled 200 years ago. All the collective knowledge of the world doubled 200 years ago. And then that doubled 50 years later, and then that doubled 30 years later, all the way up to today, where they say every 12 months, the knowledge of the world doubles now. Why? The internet. There's things that we know now that believers in the Bible never knew, the apostles never knew. So when you see these things happening, the revelation of this understanding will become more and more clear. And I'm telling you, that is a fact. We now know more about biblical prophecy than we've ever known. Why? Because God is revealing. It's called revelation knowledge. It's beginning to build on each other until finally we can see it in front of our eyes, and this will be unsealed. And by the time you recognize it, guess what? You're there. You're in it right now. So I want to remind you that you are in the season of end times. I don't believe, as some do, that we're in the season of the last seven. But I do believe we're in the birthing pains or the contractions of that season coming. And it's coming quickly like a flood. But Lord, I don't want you to come. Too bad. Can you stop that flood coming in? And what happens to a flood? It picks up speed. And that's what's going to happen before you know it. Think about the speed of how your life in our country changed from January to March of this year. Could you stop it? No. And it was like a flood. So here we go. Continue on. Daniel says, how will all this finally end, my Lord? He said, go now. Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified. Many will be cleansed. Many will be refined by these trials. Who's many? Believers. Believers will be refined. But Lord, can't you just give us a help book? Couldn't you just send us to a seminar? No, he knows we only live and improve and grow through the trials in the valleys. Those were the real lessons, not on the mountaintops. And those of us who are left, or if you're a post-trib, these will be set to refine you. There'll be a great apostasy. What does that mean? There'll be a great falling away in the end times. What's happened to church attendance lately? There's been a great falling away. And these times are here to purify us, to refine us, because we're living in the season of the end times. Now, he says, but. How many times have we read that word now? But the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. How many of you are just pulling out your head? Can't the people see how crazy they're acting? What is going on out there? Don't you see how ugly and wicked this is? We see it. Why? Because we are children of the light. We have understanding, a spiritual understanding, but they can't see it. And in the end times, evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. How many of you can see the difference? Yeah, because you're children of the light. But out there, they don't see it that way. It's a sign of the end times. Start living your life in front of them, and maybe there'll be an end time convert because of your life. But the wicked will continue the wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise, who is that? Living believers, will know what it means. You need to understand the signs of the times. It is evident. It's out there. It's happening. But other people, if they were non-Christians, people who don't love Jesus, we're going to come to C4 Church. We're going to talk about end times. They're going to say what? They're just out there for my money. Right? They don't understand. Start. 11 and 12 says this. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped, and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. And blessed are those who wait. And what? I guess you don't believe in the pre-trib then. Blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of 1,335 days. Oh, Pastor, I am so confused now. You see, the Antichrist, something's going to happen. There's going to be a seven-year period of peace set up, specifically in the Middle East, but also peace globally. There'll be one who will be the architect of this peace treaty. And that person will be adored. What are some other words? Worshipped, set up. Oh, yeah, you can just be the world leader. One world government, you're in charge of it. Whatever you want. And there's going to be, at some point in time in Jerusalem, the sacrifices and the offerings will resume. Now, you notice it doesn't say that the temple will be rebuilt here. Did you notice that? Well, I thought the temple had to be rebuilt a third time. Well, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about that. There's also a lot of scriptures that say it's a spiritual temple. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? But there's something that happens in Jerusalem where the Antichrist, who is a rock star, a world leader, everything is going great. All these, have you noticed any peace treaties happening lately? Again, it's a season. It's preparing. There'll be a time when maybe at the altar on the Temple Mount, there'll be sacrifices. Now today, when you go to the Temple Mount, you cannot bring any kind of sacrifice with you and sacrifice it there. It's against the law. We already heard about that, didn't we? But one day, sacrifices will resume. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they already have all the fixtures for the third temple. They've all been built. Solid gold. No, we don't know where they are, obviously. And they've already been training the Levitical priests to learn how to do the Old Testament sacrifices. Do you see how things are rolling? There's a lot of fascinating videos you can find on YouTube about that. But there's going to be a time when sacrifice is going to be reinstituted. What are you living in? The end times. And after 1,290 days, or what we would call half of a set of seven, or 3.5 years, something changes. The real Antichrist comes out. No, he's no longer the rock star, the world political leader. He is going to demand worship. He is going to set up this statue of some sort on the Holy of Holies. Whether the temple is built or not, it'll be set up. And what is he going to command? That everyone bows down and worships. It almost sounds like Nebuchadnezzar's dream, doesn't it? And then you're in the middle of the tribulation. Michael's coming down. And wars like you've never seen will happen. Halfway through. Isn't it great to have peace in the Middle East? How many presidents have wanted that? Everyone talked about it. What is being set up right now? All those steps lining up to this process. Now someone said, well, Pastor, what is this last sentence? And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of 1,335 days. Well, it could probably be six different things. Possibly is that when the trumpet sounds and Christ comes back. Because what's going to happen? The Antichrist, because of Michael, is going to be destroyed. And God's going to come back. And the sky's going to open up. The trumpet will blast. Again, those who are dead will rise. Those who are living, wow, that would be amazing. That is the last half of the sevens. So, as for you, Daniel, go your way until the end. Not till, you know, get resurrected, obviously. Go your way to what? The end. You will find rest. And then at the end of the days, end of the tribulation, end of all time, you will rise again to receive an inheritance set aside for you. Welcome home, good and faithful. At that point, all of the 490 years worth of prophecy will be fulfilled. How much is left right now? One set of what? Seven. Well, Pastor, is it literally going to be 7 years? I don't know. I'll let you know when it happens. But I'm preparing as though it will be. I know there's a lot of things we don't understand in Scripture, but this has been pretty clear. Why talk about this? Because we are in that season of transition to the end times. And here in 2020, certain things are needed of the church. We need wise believers who are different, who are not like the cookie cutter believers that have been around. We need more people like Daniel. You want to make a difference in the world, right? Then be different. Don't be like the world. Don't act like the world. Set yourself aside, and when people see you, they say, well, you're just different. Why? Because you are trying to make a difference. How? By being different. And there's no other time in our history that we need difference makers. You want to be change makers in a changing world? Start being different. Live differently. Live for truth and righteousness. It's the Holy Spirit's job who sets in you to be holy and different. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, that you may be whole in spirit, soul, and body, and kept blameless until Jesus Christ comes again. In 2020, more than ever, we need wise believers who are going to be ready. Wicked people don't understand, and they're oblivious to what's happening. But you are supposed to be mindful of what's happening, and you have to be ready. How do you get ready? Write this down. Anticipation and preparation. Anticipate his coming any day. And learn what it means to be ready for that day to come. If you're here this morning, if you're watching us this morning, and you think you can hold off for a while, I'm telling you, I could be totally wrong in my interpretation of all this. And my math maybe didn't add up this morning. And one day, whether he comes back in the clouds or he calls you home because you die, you will find Jesus at the judgment seat. And are you living in a way today where he's going to say, welcome home, good and faithful, you made it? Or will he say to you, depart from me, because I gave you a chance and you rejected me? Are you ready? We need people who are ready. That's why Matthew 24:42, Jesus says, keep watch, because you don't know the hour or the day that he will return. Amen? In 2020, we need wise people more than ever to be effective. Change makers in this changing world. Every single day counts. I can't be any more clear than that. How effective have you been for Jesus? Well, I don't know. I got my fire insurance. Well, you know, that's good. I'm glad you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But my Bible talks about that he wants to be the Lord of your life and he wants to use you. Every believer needs to be on mission and have a purpose. And that is to shine like the sky. And perhaps one of you are going to shine like a star, leading people to understand the righteousness. How effective have you been? Just as the